You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Last Friday, the Sacramento City Unified School District settled a class action lawsuit with the Black Parallel School Board and district families. The lawsuit, which was first filed in 2019, alleged that the district mishandled the needs of students with special needs, especially Black students, ultimately impacting them at a disproportionate rate. The Black Parallel School Board is a grassroots nonprofit group that supports the growth and development of African American families within the school district. Their claims also included that students were segregated and excluded from classrooms, disciplined and suspended wrongfully and disproportionately, and that the students with special needs were not given important resources in the district's special education program. The settlement, which the district calls a step forward, requires Sac City Unified to appoint an independent monitor, not employed by the district, to review and improve the district's special ed programs and policies. That independent monitor will also implement an action plan to bring SCUSD Sac City Unified in compliance. We're going to hear from the Black Parallel School Board and a parent in just a minute, but first, joining us is Mark Harris, Sac City Unified Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Monitor. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Thanks for making the time. You are the district's DEI monitor, and you haven't been with the district for that long, a little over a year. You're an attorney based
It's DEIA. Accessibility is part of that. And I want to make sure that we include it because this, of course, this whole issue is one of not only diversity, equity, and inclusion, but also accessibility.
Thank you for that. Yeah, that is really the focus of what we're talking about today, right?
Yeah.
With a little bit of background, so listeners get to know you a little bit. You're an attorney based here in Sacramento. You have a focus on social justice, and you took on this role with the district, and this is not directly connected to the lawsuit or the settlement, but can you tell us about how the DEIA monitor role came about?
It came about much the same way this situation came about. The district became aware of problems and issues that they had. In my case, looking specifically at a pervasive use of the N-word among students and among employees of the district, I came in at the Kit Carson. There was an event at Kit Carson. There was another event at West Campus. And I was brought in to give advice and counsel relative to those two issues. So for the past couple of years, I've been looking at not only diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility relative to African-American students, but all students and administrators and employees, quite honestly, of the district.
I mean, you have deep ties with the city of Sacramento or Sacramento just broadly. How does that shape the way you approach this role?
I am a Sacramentan. I can tell I'm a Sacramentan by the fact that even though I was born and raised in South Central LA, I've been a Kings fan for over 30 years of my life. So I guess that makes me a legitimate Sacramentan. We live in South Sac, have over the entire time that my wife and family and I have been in Sacramento. My wife was a school administrator, K through 12. And our sons, of course, were educated within Sacramento, one of whom was educated within Sac Unified. So we have very, very deep and long history with the city of Sacramento.
When it comes to this lawsuit and the subsequent settlement, the lawsuit claimed that Black students with special needs were treated differently, not given the support, the services that they needed. They were wrongfully disciplined and suspended disproportionately. As the district's DEIA monitor and also a social justice attorney, what does this lawsuit say to you? What does it represent?
Well, first, it says to me that there's not a resolution on the issues that were alleged. A settlement, by definition, is both parties agreeing to stop moving forward with the proceedings. There are any number of reasons why litigants decide that. I don't want to get into speculating why it was that either the moving parties in this situation or the district as the responsive party decided to settle. But I don't want people, particularly your listeners, to mischaracterize a settlement as a victory for one side of this or the other. It's not. It's a ceasefire, probably better than it's described as anything else. However, this all started in 2017 with a report that was put together by the Council of Great City Schools, who said that special education services across the board within Sac Unified were deficient. The subcategory within those deficient services were the services that pertained to African-American students. So that's what gave rise to this, was that report from 2017, which honestly predated both this current superintendent's tenure with Sac Unified and most of the current board. So this has been in process for quite some time.
You mentioned that you joined the district in 2021, so a little over 2 years ago. When did you become aware of the claims that families and this organization had when it came to Black students with special needs? Because you say that this dates back, you know, before your time there as well as the superintendents.
My son is the director of policy for Disability Rights California, who is one of the litigants in this lawsuit. I'm very familiar through Sandy Smith, who is their board chair, Andy Imperato, who is their CEO and executive director, the issues that pertain not only to SAC Unified, but throughout California. This is a similar criticism that is lodged towards many school districts throughout the state. I represent four, two in the Fresno area, two in the greater Sacramento area. And I would say this is not, sadly, this is not a unique set of allegations pertaining to school districts within the state of California.
Can you help us understand why it's not a unique issue and why this is prevalent at other districts?
Because you have double and sometimes triple discrimination going on, quite honestly. Disparate treatment among those with special needs, those who require special resources, special access. The question about whether the persons who are teaching these students are credentialed, have the training to be able to give those students the best education possible. And then you add to it ethnic, gender, LGBTQ, AI plus discrimination. And so you have just a fireball of potential discrimination and disparate treatment. What bothers me the most about this circumstance, besides the fact that, as I said, no issue was really resolved, the compromise was to appoint yet another monitor who would be independent and have a chance to look at this situation and make further recommendations to the district. The challenge with that is data. This is data driven. What does the data say relative to the allegations? No one has been able to really articulate how to gather that data appropriately. And once gathered, what'll happen? Let's say that the monitor suggests certain recommendations. It still has to go through the process of board approval within SAC Unified. And then you have the union that has to play a role in this. Nobody has talked about what the union has said relative to this whole issue. What about if there are new requirements imposed on classroom instructors that the union disagrees with that fits within that area, which is bargainable? They could stop any progress immediately. So there's a lot of work to be done still. I know that I'm willing and the district is willing to roll up its sleeves and get to work along with the Black Parallel School Board, our community, our students, and of course, families who are part of SAC Unified.
All right, Mark. Well, if you don't mind hanging on just for a few minutes, we're going to get back to you. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about a recently settled lawsuit between Sacramento City Unified and a coalition of African-American families who have students with special needs. We just heard from the district's DEIA monitor. We're continuing this conversation by welcoming Daryl White, chairperson of the Black Parallel School Board, and LaRivian Barnes, parent advocate. Then they were part of the plaintiffs of this lawsuit. Good morning to you both. Thank you for making the trip.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to start with you. I mean, your son is on the spectrum. You know, can you share as much as you'd like and you're comfortable with our listeners what your child's experience was like at Sac City Unified?
So after his diagnosis and his IEP, the IEP process was one of the hardest. Experiencing that and wanting to classify and characterize him as having other needs like OHI and other health needs instead of focusing on what his disability of being on the spectrum was and the needs and the resources that he would need in the classroom there. So advocating through the IEP process was a struggle. And then once we did come to IEP agreements.
An IEP is like an independent study?
Independent educational plan for him. And once we did come to those things, the resources and support that he needed in the general ed class weren't given. And no matter the support that myself or at the time my oldest son who was in college, we'd come and be in the class to support him, me with my experience with classroom support, coming in. There was even a point where I hired an outside service to come in and help, and that was out of my own pocket. We had a teacher who just did not want him in a general ed class. So we struggled with that, not getting the support and resources through his IEP, non-compliance with his IEP, and then struggling with an instructor in the classroom who was feeling like he didn't belong. And so there would be discipline actions taken, citations written up for behaviors that were characteristic of his disability. So humming in class, or if he had spatial issues, if he bumped into someone in line, then those were seen as active aggressions. And just advocating for my child through all of this, even going in front of the district board to get some of those behaviors and suspensions removed. When he was in second grade, he spent 43 days removed from class, and those weren't formal suspensions. Those were being directed to the library or somewhere else without instruction. So it has been a struggle advocating for my child, finding the correct support, and getting the support for the district to keep him in the general ed class.
LaMoravian, are you satisfied with the outcomes of the settlement? Because there will be some measures in place with an independent monitor and an action plan.
Well, I'll say I'm hopeful that there is action being taken, and there's a lot of work to be done that has been expressed in the beginning. So I'm very hopeful. I don't think I'm satisfied yet. Not until children like my son are able to be treated equitable in their education process.
Daryl, when did the Black Parallel School Board become involved?
We became involved in 2018 when we decided, because we were having so many parent complaints, to have a listening session for parents. And we had more people attend this event than any other event to date. And walking into this situation, I was really concerned why we had so many people. And so I was really, really eager to listen. By the time it was over, with parents detailing point after point, issue after issue, by the time it was over, everyone had tears in their eyes. And I'm a former principal. And I know special ed at the local level or my site level, but it was very clear to me the issue here was systemic. And that there, as a result of this lawsuit, and the district is already on record by saying that the winners are going to be the students. If we are able to do all the things that we've already outlined as part of this agreement, they are going to win. And we are going to be able to make sure that they graduate with the kinds of options that they will need as far as being career and in school and college ready.
Your organization is a grassroots organization, right, with families that are part of Sac City Unified. Over the years, how does your organization work in tandem with the school district?
Well, actually, before the lawsuit itself, we worked pretty well. There were a number of activities that we were joint participants. When the lawsuit was filed, we lost some connectiveness. We know one board member on record was really, really complaining that board member's no longer here. As a matter of fact, only one board member is here from the early date that we filed. But we've since we've since come together again. And we've worked on a couple of activities in the past couple of years. So we're feeling really, really good about this lawsuit and our ability to stay connected to the district and do good things and live up to the expectations that our constituency has of us. Now, I think the independent monitor was genius because we're very clear on what we want. We want a substantial reduction in suspensions. We want a substantial reduction in placements that are segregated. We want to increase transparency, meaning we want to make sure that parents understand exactly what the process is. We don't want them walking into a meeting where their IEP is already filled out. And it's not managed very well. We want to make sure that there's transparency and, and, and all of it. And me being a site manager for such a long time, I know it's important to have teachers trained. You know, the biggest issue that I saw at my site was teachers just simply didn't understand what it meant when a student was included. When we mainstreamed, that means we have a student with needs in that classroom. That teacher still has to live up to the responsibilities of what's in that IEP. And we had teachers that didn't know how to read it. So training is going to be one of the biggest hurdles that we have to overcome. And the things that I've just mentioned are things we can do. There might be issues that are bargainable, but
right, because the ones that I've just unions involved as well.
But the ones I've mentioned are those that we can get done.
Laravian, how's your son doing today?
He's doing great. He's grown so much educationally, academically, socially. His test scores and his grades are wonderful. He's ready for high school. So he'll be starting high school next year. He's been part of his school's his junior high school's basketball team and track team. So he's feeling confident. He's feeling now more included that that his former teacher is no longer there. He feels more included and part of his class. Mm-hmm. So, yes, he's enjoying school.
I would imagine. I mean, parenthood comes with many curveballs, right? You know, it's, you know, you're walking a new path. But what has this whole experience taught you?
It's taught me to speak up, speak out, not just for my child, but for other children. So professionally, career-wise, I've been in the classroom for over 25 years, and I've worked with children with disabilities. And when it came to my son and recognizing and that he wasn't getting the support and advocating, it took a lot for me to speak up. And when I started speaking up, I started noticing that it was occurring not just with my son, but with other kids. And it just taught me that you need to speak up and out for other children, not just your own.
Mark, I want to bring you back in, because what I'm hearing from all three of you is from the district to the Black Parallel School Board to parents. I mean, you all have a very vested interest in seeing the district be the very best it can be for every single student. What stands out to you about what Laravian and Daryl shared and in terms of tangible success and what that also looks like for you?
What stands out to me the most is the spirit of cooperation expressed by both of them. First, I'm glad to hear that the student involved is doing so well. And I mean that as a parent, as an advocate on behalf of the African-American community and others in our community who are marginalized. I'm glad to hear the student is doing well. That's the first thing. And I want to commend his mother for sticking up for him in the way that she did. Daryl White, I know I've had him as a guest on my radio show. I've watched his work at Burbank High and throughout Sac Unified. I know he's a soldier. And I know he'll fight on behalf of the kids who are being mistreated. So coming together and collaborating, I think we can get a lot done positively. I do believe, as he pointed out, that teachers are overwhelmed generally, but particularly overwhelmed with trying to figure out how to incorporate a student into their class environment if they don't have the skills and training in order to best do that. That's a district problem. That actually is a statewide problem that I hope we will focus on. What resources do we need to bring to those within classroom instruction so that they can better serve the needs of these students? But I don't want to lose sight of the final point. And that is, we're not just talking about a category of special needs students, students with the need for special accommodation within the class environment, not in a separate environment. But we're talking about particular discrimination relative to Black students. I don't want to sugarcoat that. I don't want that lost. I hope that this monitor who's selected will understand that one of the focal points of this monitor duty is to look at any potential disparate treatment, discriminatory treatment that is visited upon and hoisted upon the African-American community. That's what the Black Parallel School Board pointed out. I think they're absolutely right to be vigilant about that. And I want to work closely with them as we move forward.
Mark, Daryl, and Laravian, thank you all for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Darrell White is the chairperson of the Black Parallel School Board. Laravian Barnes is a parent advocate. And Mark Harris is Sac City Unified's Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility Monitor. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.